Stephen Smith, Reel 3. So is this your main occupation, as it were? Have you devoted your life to this? Your, you know, this is your work, as it were.
Well, there's two sides to that. Yes, I spend most of my time running, looking after Beth Shalom, and I see myself as a fully committed professional in the field of clinical studies. However, I don't earn my living doing it. I have my own business, and I feel it's important that I don't earn my living doing this. This, to me, is a contribution, and a contribution I think should be made. So I have to walk a something of a tightrope to ensure that my business activities and all my staff in other business areas are looked after to keep my income going.
Could I be nosy and ask your business, mainly to see how complementary they are? You know, what do you actually do?
I own a small confectionery company. We manufacture mainly gift cakes and gift confectionery. The company is called Wellsprings Confectionery, and we have brands such as Celebration Cake Company. We also make own label products for Sainsbury's and Tesco's, and so you won't know exactly what we produce or when or for what. But that's what we do. Complementary was the word you used. I mean, it might be contradictory too, but I think complementary is actually an interesting word, because in fact, I do tend to find that dealing with the Holocaust is a very, very intensive topic. It's very emotional, and in fact, it's not a bad thing to have other duties to have to attend to. Sometimes that's a bit frustrating, because obviously they can vie for one's time, and sometimes it's not always convenient because you want to be in two places at once. But nevertheless, it's also quite a good thing to get away from the Holocaust, because I think it's I don't consider myself a Holocaust freak. You know, I am not obsessed by it. I have my business, I have my family, I enjoy all kinds of other hobbies and things. I do spend a lot of my time with it, but I do that because I feel it has to be done, not because I'm obsessed with doing it, if you understand. It's not a hobby for me. I really don't usually talk when I'm working with people in this field about my business activities. I have Jewish clients and Jewish suppliers in my other business who don't know what I do when I'm not in the office, and I don't intend to tell them. If they find out about Bechelon through the sources, fine. But I feel certainly not many of my business contacts know this is what I do, because I feel that I should be seen as a professional in both fields, because I am, or at least I hope I am. And I then apply myself to both with equal commitment. So that's how we do it. And my brother James, who works here on a part-time basis, he's a surgeon. By profession, he works part time at surgery. He's made big sacrifices in his career, actually. Difficult to understand for someone who's not in that field of work, but it is a very intensive career path, and he's chosen to give up certain steps on that career path in order to fulfill what he sees as being something of a duty here. And I say all power to his elbow for that, because I don't in any way minimise the career of being a medical doctor, on the contrary, but to have a commitment to sacrifice some of that, what he sees as being a larger aim, I think is very commendable.
You were saying earlier, you know, the initial response from the Jewish community was one of shock, really, and bemusement. Has that changed? You know, what is it today, would you say, the people who come here?
I think from the survivor community, there was a sense of surprise, but I think very, very, very warmly greeted from the word go. I think the survivor community understood, I think, and I feel, and it was expressed from many, many quarters. The survivor community understood the motivations and the well, they understood the place from the outset. I think members of the Jewish community as a whole had to weigh this up, and naturally so. I mean, it's really not normal to do this. And so it did take a little bit of time for folks to come to terms with that. But I think, yeah, it happened. And I think today the Jewish community supports us really very broadly. We feel support of the Jewish community. We feel the involvement of the Jewish community. And as I said earlier, we feel entirely a part of the Jewish community while also being entirely separate. And I think both are important. But we couldn't feel a part of the community unless the community felt a part of us. And certainly, you know, it's very much an open door policy for the Jewish community. Anybody who wants to participate and help, assist, volunteer, whatever it might be, of course, are always welcome and do help in that way.
Yes. Well, what do you think you offer that other... I know you don't compare yourself to Holocaust museums, but many of the people who come here have been to Yad Vashem, they've been to Washington, and they will come to the Imperial War Museum, no doubt, when it's opened. Can you sum up what you offer, which is something special to Jewish, not only the survivors, but the Jewish community? What do you think this place has to... It's very small, as you were saying, extremely small, isn't it? What do you think you give people who come here, particularly the people, the survivors?
I think it's very difficult to put into words. It's an ambience, it's an environment, it's an attitude, it's an experience, which I wouldn't like to formalise in words, really.
Do you get reaction from them, though? Do they tell you how meaningful? You know, this was your aim, wasn't it? That it should be meaningful. What sort of things do they... their sort of response? How do they...
Survivors in particular, I would say, are grateful. That's how I understand why, although I didn't quite expect it to be that way, and certainly didn't set out to seek that. I think also visitors do often comment, I'm talking now about adult visitors from the Jewish community, do often comment on the fact that this is being created from outside the Jewish community and what a positive thing that is. You see, I think many perhaps come with questions about the motives behind it and why would somebody want to do this and so on. And I certainly understand those questions because I would have them myself if I was in their position. But they often go away saying, you know, the real strength of this is that it's not a Jewish institution. When we were creating it, I said to Jim on a number of occasions, you know, one of the big problems is going to be convincing people because there aren't a Jewish setup. And he said, you know, I think it's going to be one of its major strengths. And he was absolutely right. And many people comment on that in the Jewish community. That is a strength, but it's not, if you can put it crudely, Jews going on about what they went through. But you know, people outside that experience saying to other people, this is important. So that's a regular comment, is what I'm saying. It's difficult for me to assess because I don't come and see it first time. It's sort of been a long journey, really, so I'm fairly used to it in a way. But I do know that people are quite taken from a variety of perspectives. Because they're actually visitors.
It's very much an organic, isn't it, whole, you know, the garden and the house and the little museum and the educational rooms. It's and very peaceful atmosphere. I love the way you've got seats everywhere and little sheltered spots.
You want people to feel too, that they can, you want people to feel at home here, you know, and feel relaxed here, and This may sound trite, and I hope it doesn't, but in fact our coffee lounge, sitting in now, but the catering in the coffee lounge and the environment of that is actually very important. I don't think it's more important than the content, but I think this is a very difficult content to deal with if you haven't got an environment which is relaxed, which is friendly, in which you can feel you can unwind if you've had a long journey, in which you can just be yourself, either alone or with your friends or family. But so in a way, creating that almost homely environment has been a part of it. Setting out to do that, I have to say there was no great plan. All we did was set out to do something that would be, I suppose, comfortable and pleasant. So we weren't thinking of any device to make people feel comfortable and okay with things. But it actually, it contributes a lot, I think.
Finally, and you've given me so much of your time, Stephen, thank you very much, but could I just ask, is it also a retreat? Do people, can they come and stay here?
People do, certainly not a retreat as it was. If people want to come and organise small seminars or conferences or whatever, we do have a number of beds in the facility for that. We also run residential conferences for teachers and that sort of thing. We try though to focus that very much on an educational program or focus program because we feel it's important that people come in things to learn, to discuss, to develop ideas and concepts so that it's contributing all the time to their own learning experience. And,
Well, Stephen, thank you very much indeed for telling me about the wonderful thing you've created here in Beth Shalom. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.